You're listening to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. It's the best kind of gossip on demand every week. Girl talk, no filter. Here's your sis, Alessandra G.
Welcome back to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. This podcast is sponsored by DistroKid. For all of you artists, musicians, songwriters, producers, you name it out there, you need to check out DistroKid. It's an independent digital music distribution service, that is a mouthful, that allows you to make all of the money from streaming. That's right, they do not take a cut of your earnings, so I have no idea what you're waiting for. If you're making music, be sure to use my code, which is in my link tree and the description of this episode, for 7% off your first year membership. DistroKid.com/VIP/AlwaysAlessandra. They'll help you with promotion, getting your music on platforms like TikTok and Instagram, and so much more. Plus, you'll be able to have those karaoke scroll style lyrics on social media. And I don't know about you, but I am completely obsessed with that. That's how I learn lyrics. So you gotta get on it. Now today, we have an amazing segment of Friday Features with Lauren Mayhew. Lauren is a DJ, on-air host, singer, actress, so much more. She recently released her latest single, Boys, and it's complete fire, if I may say so myself. This is an exclusive Friday feature. Hey Lauren, how's it going?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, you know. Just trying to get to this vaccine one way or another. I think we're getting there at some point, but I'm just trying to see the light at the end of the tunnel. How have you been dealing with coronavirus?
You know what? It's so crazy because I was in New York when coronavirus first hit. And I mean, we were under complete lockdown. I remember after basically spending a month in my apartment going nowhere, I finally went outside to venture into the light with masks on and everything. But I would go bike riding throughout the city. And it was nuts because you could actually bike ride down Park Avenue and not see a single car. Just like bike down the middle of the road, which was insane. And I kind of look back on it in like a fond way because it's interesting. There's so much that, you know, people harp about that, you know, that really was horrible, you know, from people getting sick and dying to all these other things and not having jobs. But I always try to look at the bright side, and there are things that I did during Corona that I never would have done otherwise, I think, and that were really amazing things. So, you know, you can always find some light even when there's some darkness, you know, a lot of darkness around. So I really enjoyed those times, and I loved biking around with my girlfriends and going to the parks and having picnics, boozy picnics, obviously.
Yeah, of course. There's no other way to do a picnic, especially in coronavirus. You need some wine. I'm in Jersey. I was in Jersey when this whole thing hit, so I totally get what you mean. I mean, the only place we could really go to was the supermarket, and even that was like a horror show. It just, I don't know, it looked like people were crawling out of like the dirt from 20 years ago. And it was a weird experience, but at least we're getting somewhat back to normal slowly. And it's great that you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, it's always great to be positive and just look forward to, you know, the summer, hopefully.
For sure. I mean, so one thing that I was able to do that was so nice was I was originally born and raised in Florida. And obviously, you know, the weather here being super sunny, you know, outdoor dining is still a thing that's in full effect, rooftops, you know, beach sort of, you know, cafes and things like that. So my family still lives here, actually in the house that I was originally born and raised in. And so I've been here since mid-October and loving it. So it's crazy. I never thought that I'd be here this long. I definitely thought that I'd be back in New York by January at the least. But with Super Bowl being here and all these amazing things going on here and me being close to family, it's really been, you know, food for my soul. And also, you know, I think there really is something too, like the weather, like just having it be sunshine and bright every day really helps you look at every day with, like, you know, rose colored glasses, if you will.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. Florida is so beautiful. I completely understand why you would escape there. I actually have a friend whose sister lives in New York, but they're originally from Florida. And she went back for 3 months or something like that because, I mean, there was nothing to do. It's freezing. She was like, I'm going to go back home. And I do not blame her whatsoever. I spent 3 months in LA at the end of 2020. And I do not regret that at all. It was beautiful. It totally gave me like a better vibe. I felt like I saw the light, like you're saying, like it's weird, but I was like, you know what? In a weird way, I feel like this virus doesn't really matter as much when it's nice outside because you can go out with the mask on and it's like, you know, I could still do things outside and be safe. Here, it's like I'm sitting in 3 feet of snow, like, now what?
Well, it really makes you reevaluate why you live the places that you live. I mean, for me, I grew up and I always lived in either, except for when I was a kid, in either LA or New York, just simply because as an actress and a singer, like that's where you had to be. But now where everything is via Zoom or via Skype or you do auditions on tape, you really can live anywhere. And then so you start to think, well, if I don't have to be here for work, where do I really want to be? And the thing is, I mean, don't get me wrong, New York is a magical city and I have loved living there. It's phenomenal. But right now, all the things that you love about New York are not there. It's really interesting that, like, you know, the quality of life that you can have, you know, in a place like Tampa right now, which is where I'm at, and, you know, just how much cheaper it is. Also, on top of that, I'm like, man, they're giving away apartments here.
So true. So beyond true.
You know, I'm like, man, I could get two apartments for the cost of my one in New York. Like, let's just load it up. You know, it's kind of interesting. If you had ever told me even 6 months ago, you know, or 8 months ago that I'd be living back in Florida, I'd be like, no way. Yet here I am and I'm loving it. It just shows you that life can throw you curveballs and you got to adapt, you know, whether it's business, whether it's your personal life, whatever it is, you got to just be able to roll with the punches.
Totally. I completely agree. And, you know, speaking of everything being available on Zoom and just being able to work from wherever you are, speaking to a lot of musicians and artists, it seems like they're loving it. Like they can record, they can collaborate just by going on their computer, going on Zoom, talking to their team. It doesn't matter where everyone is. How has the pandemic kind of impacted your recording process or the way you collaborate with your team?
Honestly, not at all. When it comes to that, I mean, we've been in a digital age for so long now. I've been working with producers and DJs and other songwriters internationally or in other states for, I mean, years now. So, I mean, I'm used to sending voice notes and voice memos to people. I'm used to recording things in my home studio and shooting it off to them, you know, using my like editing software. I'm used to, you know, doing writing sessions with people via Skype and stuff like that prior to. I mean, Zoom wasn't necessarily like the mode of choice. I feel like in the past couple of years, it was more so either communicating with people via WhatsApp or using Skype if I wanted to video and actually like sing and go over lyrics and stuff like that with someone, where now Zoom is really just taken over. But, you know, that's been kind of embedded in the music industry for a while. I feel like. So that wasn't so much of a change. Where the change really came was obviously with the live performances. That's where it's really taken such a toll.
Yeah, completely. I know I always like to talk about this, but it's so different now, especially with these live streams where people are like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch a live stream or like I'm going to a virtual concert, but I cannot bring myself to shutting the lights off in my room with my laptop and watching it. Like, I'll watch clips here and there, but it's just depressing at some point because I was a concert photographer. I used to go to shows, you know, 3 times a week, and then it was all just like 1, 2, 3, bam, there's no concerts. Yeah. And for me, it's just sad. I know it's even worse, and I always talk about this with artists and musicians on the show, but it's got to be awful to not be able to go on stage and perform. And I know everyone, you know, is trying to be positive about these virtual performances, but I just don't think there is anything that can compare to the energy on stage and actually seeing people on, you know, the audience side and connecting with them. But how have you been dealing with that?
Yeah, there's definitely nothing like, you know, being able to connect with an audience live. I think it's also very hard for a performer because you feed off the energy of an audience. So when you're sitting there just performing to your phone or a laptop or some sort of Canon, you know, 5D or something like that, like, you know, there's no feedback. So you can't really tell, you know, is this what people are wanting to hear? Are they liking it? Are they dancing and jumping up and down, or are they bored? Like, you can't adjust to the vibe and the energy of the audience. So that is definitely very difficult and hard. But one thing that I think that might be a suggestion for the listeners, and obviously it depends on everyone's comfortability level, but I kind of had like a quarantine crew, if you will, like a few people that I hung out with on a regular basis where we all just kind of hung out with each other. And I feel like, you know, even just having a small squad where, you know, you put on a few lights in your room, you all have some cocktails and, you know, you put on, you know, a live performance or whatever together, definitely, it's still not the same, but I'd say it's infinitely better just to have that interaction with a few other close friends or family members that also enjoy the same type of music that you can actually enjoy the experience with.
No, yeah, that's a great idea. I just think it's so hard with the time zones and everything. Like, a lot of times these artists have like one, you know, set time, and then it's like maybe you're just finishing up work or your friend's coming back from work or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
I mean, I love supporting artists, so I, you know, I'll be buying merch or, you know, but I don't use like iTunes. I don't know who still does, but I mean, I'll go on and like buy singles and stuff because I feel bad and I'm like, you know what, I'll buy this. And then occasionally when my car switches to like iTunes randomly, I'm not listening to like, I don't know, Smash Mouth. I'm, you know, actually listening to a few more recent tracks, but that's a completely different story. I'm just like, I will support in any way that I can. I think everyone should, you know, always be on the lookout for merch, or if you got to get someone a birthday gift or a holiday gift, just support artists, get their records. I collect vinyls, so like that's something that I love to do. I mean, it gets a good chunk of change to, you know, smaller artists.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait till it gets back to normal. And I know you, like you said, that energy, it's just going to be unreal and uncomparable. But I do want to talk about the fact that on top of having a really positive energy and outlook since, you know, we started talking, and I just think in general, you also manage to be a singer, DJ, actress, and on-air host. So I just want to know, one, when do you have the time to breathe? And two, how do you manage to balance all of that? Like, I just think that's incredible. And a lot of people are probably thinking, I'd love to do all of that, but I, you know, at the end of the day, I'm gonna have to pick one. But here you are doing it all. So what can you tell me about that?
Well, I think that it's one of those things that nowadays they all kind of work together. And you know, it used to be like when I was younger, so I was in a girl band when I was like a preteen and teenager called PYT, and we opened up for Britney and NSYNC and Destiny's Child, 98 Degrees, and performed at the Super Bowl and did all this cool fun stuff. And at the time, I had a pretty serious acting background. Like, I was on a soap opera, I was on Guiding Light for 2 years, and then I was a series regular on a show on PBS called The Reppies. And I was getting offers to do all these different guest stars and different things. And at the time, Epic Sony, which is who we were signed to, was like, no, we don't want you doing any of that because we need your full attention and time doing music and blah, 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 blah. Whereas nowadays, like, entertainment and even the platforms in which we digest our entertainment are so crossed over and infused together that it's much easier nowadays to kind of do multiple things and feed into each other, and people who are working with you also accept that. Whereas before, it kind of wasn't like that. You know, I mean, obviously there's a methodology behind each way. Like, you know, some people would say, oh, well, if you focus on one thing, you can be the best at that. Whereas if you kind of spread yourself, but here's the thing. It's like, you know, for example, during quarantine, for example, when there just really wasn't a lot of theatrical auditions at all. I mean, even now they're trickling in, as well as, you know, commercial auditions. There's still a very robust amount of voiceover opportunities, but the rest of it is still slow. So what I've been doing, I've been throwing myself into my music, writing a ton of new music, focusing on the releases. Like, you know, I think that with your career, there are ebbs and flows in different areas. And I think that on one hand, it keeps it fresh for me always. There is always something new going on. There's always something exciting. And I think old Lauren, or younger Lauren, I guess, if you will, whenever one thing was going really well, I'd focus on the thing that wasn't going well. And I'd be like, man, why isn't this one thing doing as well as this other thing? Whereas now I feel like the older I've gotten, like, the more I've kind of leaned into whatever thing is really working and just ridden that wave. Because really, with most stuff in life, it's like, you know, the first couple steps are the hardest, and then it just starts to get easier and easier and easier the more that you do. And so I've kind of, on one hand, just found that that's the easiest way to, you know, kind of play the business, if you will. But on the other hand, it's a much kinder way to be to yourself, because it's not easy being an artist. You get rejected on a daily basis. You know, things are always hard. You're your own CEO, your own creative exec, your own everything, basically your own personal cheerleader. So it's a lot of pressure. And I think that, you know, on so many levels, it's really worked for me to kind of have that outlook.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great way to look at things. And you're so right with everything being connected. Like, it's crazy that pretty much any career now is relevant on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so wild. Like, I'll be on there and see like stock TikTok. Then I'm looking at, you know, musicians, how they make a song, just, you know, with a laptop and controller or whatever. And then it's like, then you're watching people talk about reality TV or like their experience on The Bachelor, and everything is available now pretty much everywhere. True. And same thing with Twitter. Like, you can be a social media guru, influencers. I mean, it goes on and on. So it's awesome that people are so open and that you're able to balance all of it and have time for everything. Because like you said, some people may be like, oh yeah, like that's probably not a good idea, but I think it's a great idea. And I love to do the same thing too. It's just more fun that way. And I feel like you have more opportunities and there's more chances to connect with new people. So
for sure. And I can't tell you how many times where I've gotten hired, on a job for one thing, and then they find out that I sing or do something else. And then I end up being able, like, you know, for example, I'm hired as a voiceover artist for a radio ad. And then they found out that I'm a musician and they're like, oh, send us over some of your music. And then bam, I end up licensing a song to them as well, you know, maybe for a different spot or something else. So really, just with anything, it's relationships. And, you know, obviously you don't want your craft to suffer. You have to make sure that the product that you're creating is top notch and great. But as long as you're, you know, doing quality control on that, like, there's no reason why you can't utilize or leverage the opportunities that you have on one sector of your entertainment, you know, side or forte, if you will, to help the other sides.
Exactly. I completely agree. And I know you mentioned, you know, doing some voiceover work. You know, you're kind of doing it all and killing it in every way and aspect possible. But I do want to talk about your brand new single that's coming out soon, but by the time this is released, it'll already be out. Boys, what can you tell us about the concept behind that track and its video? Because I know that's also really awesome.
For sure, for sure. I'm so excited about this song. So I actually wrote this song with my friend David Schoenwetter, who goes by the artist name Invita. You know, we got together, we had done a song together before, and, you know, it was during quarantine when we were writing this, and we really missed, you know, especially miss DJing at massive nightclubs that I was playing at in New York, like Marquee and Lavo, and in Vegas, I had just gotten a residency at Park MGM. So I was missing, you know, that live connection and just dance music in general. And so we were actually inspired by Tiesto's Boom track, if you've heard that or if you're familiar with it before. And I really loved that track. I always loved how it hit when I was playing it and how the audience would react. So I wanted to do something like beat wise that was kind of inspired by that. So we started there, and then the phrase just kind of came out of me, and it was like, he was like, that's interesting. He's like, that's so simple, but yet like, so, you know, like, so it could be like easily like a girl's anthem or like a gay guy's anthem or like really just anyone's anthem. And so we kind of just went with the theme. And from there we ended up incorporating, I mean, every single, you know, the kind of idea was that, like, you know, every single type of guy, there's a type of guy for everyone, whether you're into nerdy guys or athletic guys. And we incorporated a lot of different, not only my friends and other musicians and actors in the music video, but also some reality TV stars. At the time, I'd become friends with this guy named Carl Radke, who's one of the celebrities of Bravo's hit show Summer House, which has just gone into its fifth season. And he heard the song and was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect, because him and Kyle, who's also one of the other leads of the show, had come out with this new drink called Lover Boy. And so between, you know, the name of the song, plus, you know, kind of their personas on the show, plus this drink, they were like, Lauren, like, we have to be a part of it. Last minute, Kyle ended up not being able to be a part of the episode just because, you know, corona restrictions. He was really worried about it with, I think his parents were coming to visit or something. But Carl was able to end up doing it. And we had an absolute blast shooting the video. We actually shot it on the rooftop of my ex-boyfriend's art studio in Long Island City, trying to be as COVID friendly as possible. So we did it in open air. Everyone had to wear masks when they weren't on screen, like all of these different things. But we got it done. And it's a miracle that that happened. And I'm so proud of it.
Yeah. And I know that you've been teasing it a little bit on social media, kind of posting a few things, and people are excited, and they should be. And I love the reality TV music crossover. I think it's awesome that you and Carl became friends and now are able to collaborate on something. I know that you're going to have some other, you know, influencers and people in the music video. Who else may viewers be able to spot, or who should they keep their eye out for?
So there's definitely a couple other people who have like significant social media followings. Two of them actually, randomly enough, are probably not ones that people would necessarily know by names, but they're two break dancers that are pretty big on social media. One of them being named Yaya Finesse. And I actually met the two of them on a subway station. No joke. They were in the subway performing for, I'm not even joking, like maybe 150 people who are captivated watching them and like filming them. And, you know, and they were just doing the most insane backflips and dance moves and all this other stuff. And I saw them and I came up to them and I was like, you guys are amazing. And we just started chatting and I told them, I was like, it just dawned on me about the music video and I asked them to be in it. I DM'd them and then boom, they appear in it. So they're the ones, when you actually see the full video, who are breakdancing throughout the video. So I was excited to have them as part of it.
Oh, that's awesome. So we can see some amazing dancing in the video as well. And this track kind of follows, you know, all of your previous singles, specifically your last one that you released in 2021 this year, Going Out. Is it going to have a similar vibe or is this kind of a new sound, new direction for you?
Totally different, actually. So Going Out is kind of like a disco house sort of song. It's like kind of like that grooving sort of rhythm that you would listen to like while cruising down the PCH in California, like in a convertible or something, like that sort of vibe. Whereas Boys is definitely meant to be a club track. It's definitely meant to hit hard. It's meant to make you dance and get you in the mood and kind of chant that, you know, hook over and over again as it comes in.
Now we kind of have, or I have a clearer vision of what, you know, we can expect. And I know everyone will definitely have heard it, but if you haven't at this point, definitely go check it out. But I had a question and kind of something that may be difficult to answer. So you have this track, Boys, you had Carl in the video from Summer House, which kind of like makes it a reality TV type of vibe at the same time, because, you know, people are seeing Carl, they're like, oh yeah, Summer House, like I've seen that show. You know, if Boys could be the opening track for any reality TV show, what show would you pick?
Oh my gosh. That's actually a great question. I mean, I do actually feel like it fits Summer House so well because they do have so many male characters like on their show and they all have that sort of like very like, you know, sassy in your face sort of like persona, which like I love them for. Like they're just so funny and awesome and like love to have a great time and love life. I could also see it being like the theme song of, I don't know, like maybe some sort of like show for like the LGBT community where it's like, you know, what was that show that was so popular? God, people loved it. It was like about like a home renovation show, but like three guys and a, oh man, I can't remember, but I feel like anything where it's just because it also really feels like to me from like, I used to go to the Abbey in LA all the time, which is like a huge gay club in LA. And I freaking loved it. I love the music that they played. I love like all the dancers, everything. And I could see that in that environment, in that vibe, I feel like the song would just crush.
That's awesome. You know, maybe Summer House will have to throw it in an episode. You never know.
For sure. We tried to actually do that this season, but unfortunately, like on a more somber note, Carl actually had a family member pass away, and so he was really kind of overwhelmed. It happened right when all of the filming was going, and this is public knowledge, so it's not like I'm saying anything secret or anything, but
yeah, of course,
yeah, it was just really hard for him, and he really wanted it to be a part of it. But with that going on, you know, it's like you have to make sure to have time to weave in all the different storylines, and obviously Boys and filming the music video would have been part of his. And with this death in his family, I mean, you know, there's just really nothing that, you know, comes close to, you know, being as important as that. So, and he also took a lot of time off filming and stuff as well. So it just unfortunately didn't work out, but I feel very blessed that he donated his time to be there in general and, you know, be a part of it because he really added a lot. So it was great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry to hear about the death in his family. I know that's so hard, but it's great that, you know, he still was able to be a part of it. But yeah, you never know, maybe a future episode. I feel like there's always great tracks randomly thrown into, you know, reality TV shows. And I remember when they were first previewing Summer House, I think it was on Vanderpump Rules, mm-hmm. kind of just threw it in there once. And I was like, oh, and I kind of get what you mean with the vibe and everything. I got to watch more of it for sure. But I have seen, you know, my fair share of episodes, but I'm glad it worked out. I do want to kind of segue into another chapter that you're also working on right now that's pretty big. I would say it's huge, actually. You have the lead role in Trollstopia as Val Thundershock. Like, what a hell of a name.
I know.
and I, you know, I know it's so popular on Hulu and so many people are enjoying it. And speaking of reality TV and kind of acting and all of that, I wanted to ask, do you enjoy voice acting as much as you do being on camera? Because it seems like you have a lot of fun doing it all. And I know you do some on-air hosting. So, you know, how does it compare for you?
You know, it's really interesting. I never would have thought that I would have had nearly as much fun as I do doing voiceover acting as I do like live action, you know, film and TV. Because, you know, obviously there just seems like there's so much more to the live film and TV acting. But it's interesting when the physicality is taken away, it's really interesting how much you have to focus on getting and emoting through just voice. And it's much more like difficult and complicated and nuanced than I think most people would guess. But it's interesting because I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but like, have you ever like watched a movie theater preview and it's not done by the normal movie theater guy voice? I don't know if you've ever seen this, but like it's only happened to me once or twice, like in like an art, like house, like picture theater or something like that. And when they do a preview and it's not the voice that you're used to hearing it, you're like, this isn't a real preview. This isn't real at all. Like this must be super janky and whatever. And even if they shot it on like the fanciest camera and it's the best lighting and whatever, it's amazing how like a voice that you don't even may not even have ever registered that like that's the voice that you always hear, but you're so used to it that when you don't hear it, you're like, this isn't a real thing, you know? Or like if you ever like I've actually had the ability to see feature films before the soundtrack and before the scoring has been put in. Oh my God. Some of the movies that you think that are like amazing without the sound and without like the music, it's a totally different experience. Like especially like a horror movie or something, like so many scenes aren't even scary without the, you know, ominous music and stuff that's like building up and like all the different sound effects they put in it. It's really interesting how much voice and music and these things that, you know, are not physical and are not in front of your face really affect how you feel about a piece of, you know, a film or a TV show or what have you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, I never really thought about that with movies, especially like if the music were to be taken out, you know, how it would change the impact that certain scenes have. But you're so right about like horror films where, you know, you hear that sound and you know something's about to pop out, but if that sound wasn't there, that changes things.
Yeah, I mean, even in Marvel movies and things like that too, you know, the very triumphant, you know, like that, you know, those big orchestral sort of, you know, music things that are happening behind fight scenes. I mean, imagine seeing those without that music. Like you'd be like, oh, they're just like little toy people dinking around, you know, like it's amazing how much it changes it. It's crazy. Yeah, it's really a nutty thing. And I guess just because I've had the opportunity to go in and do ADR work, which is basically work where you have to, if you film a TV show or film and there's issues with the sound, as an actor, you have to go back in and kind of match your performance by redoing it with just your voice so that they can have clear audio. And it's been in those sessions where I've been able to see all of the action without the sound and stuff like that in it. And it's just a trip. It really is.
Yeah, that is really cool. I've never heard of that before. And now you got me thinking, maybe I should start muting my TV or something. I don't know. That's crazy. Also, just strange. I don't know. I'm kind of mind blown at this point, thinking about how the sound could actually affect like the whole performance.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't want to get off on a tangent because now I'm going to be like, I don't know, staring into space for 3 hours or something. And I know that you must have like a lot of goals for, you know, all of these different hobbies and passions of yours. But I want to know, as kind of like a final question, who have you been dreaming of working with next when it comes to, you know, the music or entertainment industry? Do you have someone or like some sort of collaboration on your list where you're like, you know, if I could work with so-and-so, or if I did a song with this person, I would just be mind blown.
So first, I want to say it has definitely not always been easy and seamless. I feel like I've gotten to this place now by a ton of hard work and trial and error. And it's a work in progress every day. And for every success, so I want to say first to like the listeners or to anyone who, you know, not only is doing entertainment, but really anything where you're an entrepreneurial, you know, sort of go-getter and trying to create something new and visionary, do not be deterred by, you know, I think it's so interesting. Like when you hear interviews with people, you just hear about all the great things they've done. You don't see, you know, how close they got to so many things and didn't get it, you know, and how devastating it was and all the things. So that I just want to point out is definitely a thing that still happens. And you just have to kind of, you know, not take it personally and move forward. But in terms of where I want to be or who I want to work with, I mean, man, there's so much more I want to do. I mean, essentially, I kind of want to do what I'm doing, but just at a much larger scale. Like, I want to be performing at the EDCs, like main stage. I want to, you know, be winning a Grammy. I want to be starring in a, you know, huge feature film and, you know, doing the music for the film. Basically kind of like a Will Smith or J-Lo or Justin Timberlake, if you will, who kind of, you know, floats back between the entertainment, between the acting and the music industries. In terms of one specific person that I'd like to work with, man, I mean, there's just so many people that I admire for so many different things. It would be really hard to just pick one, especially once the world starts going back to normal. I'll get to do much, much more, but I'm glad that it's coming back slowly but surely. I've already started getting more auditions and more opportunities and more things coming through. So that's very exciting just in itself.
Yes, for sure. And that's such a great way, you know, to put it, like, yeah, do not get discouraged. I know a lot of people think that, you know, success happens overnight or it just, you know, I mean, and sometimes it could for some people, but I would say a majority of the time it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of practice, you know, and it's a great outlook and perspective and, you know, a great advice for anyone, I think, that just has a dream. It doesn't matter if it's acting, singing, or, you know, being an entrepreneur or starting your own clothing line, like anything. You just have to work at it and just try your best. Be passionate about it. That's step one. And yeah, I just think that's really good advice.
So, Alessandra, like to your point, like when you're saying like, oh, some people can, you know, like some people can just whatever, they get lucky and it happens overnight. The thing is that, you know, entertainment or any career, it's not linear. So just because you get lucky once and blow up with one thing doesn't mean that there's not, sorry, so many ups and downs that will be in front of you in your path in the future, you know? So that's another interesting thing is that every kind of, you know, hill or mountain you kind of surmount, there's always something new that you want to achieve because, you know, most people, once they get to a certain level, they want to achieve the next level and the next. So maybe one level was easy and a, you know, a snap of their fingers, but maybe the next is more challenging. So I think that was kind of a hard thing for me because I had so much success when I was young that, you know, when I went through my first, you know, time, like drought, if you will, not booking stuff, I was like, man, this blows. And I think it was maybe harder for me because knowing my capability, knowing my talent and knowing where I had been, even just like a year prior and then being where I was at that time, that was a really hard pill to swallow. But I feel like if anything, it's humbling and it lets you really makes you appreciate when things are going well. So there's that.
No, that is so true. And you know, there, you know, people can be one hit wonders and be fine with that. And others, they just, they want more. And I like to consider myself wanting more. So I know you feel the same way, but, I want to thank you so much for coming on. That's the Tea with Alessandra G and chatting with me about boys and, you know, the song, and everything in between, having Carl in the music video, advice, all of that. I know everyone is going to be so excited to hear this track.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I've had a blast. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another exclusive segment of Friday Features on That's the Tea with Alessandra G. Huge shout out and thank you, as always, to my guest, Lauren Mayhew, for coming on, chatting about everything from her new music to reality TV and everything in between. Be sure to check out her new single, Boys. Listen to it, stream it. Watch the music video. I do have one final, very special message for you all. And if you've tuned in before, you definitely know it. And I hope it hasn't gotten old yet. But if it has, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to deal with it. Stay safe out there, friends. And wash your damn hands.